From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 1-800-NOW-OPEN or open.com.
When Valentino Achakdeng was a child in southern Sudan, militiamen on horseback attacked his town and separated him from his family. He was forced to walk with thousands of other boys through Sudan and Ethiopia and Kenya, where he finally settled in the Kakuma refugee camp. He spent his teen years there, and then in 2001 he was resettled in Atlanta, Georgia, as part of a program for Sudan's so-called lost boys. And now Valentino has collaborated with Dave Eggers on a novel based on his life. The book, What is the What, is published by McSweeney's, the publishing house founded by Dave Eggers, and I'm very pleased to welcome them both to my show. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you.
So why is this book being called a novel? Isn't it based pretty tightly on Valentino's life?
It follows the course of his life very closely, but I came from a journalism background where if we wanted to have even one quote without it on tape, you can't call it nonfiction. So to be able to recreate these scenes and have conversations that took place 20 years ago and also to be able to have the freedom to cover different parts of the war and amalgamate a few different characters and compress time, it was necessary to call it a novel.
But I can proceed with under the assumption that most of the things we read about in the book actually happened.
Yes, they either happened or something very close.
Valentino, how did you meet Dave?
We met in Atlanta through my friend Mary Williams, who had written a letter to Dave Eggers to ask him if he would be able to help me write my book. I had asked Mary Williams that I wanted to have my story documented for generations and generations to read and to understand more about what has been going on in Sudan besides just the Lost Boys history.
But David, had you been aware of the Lost Boys issue at that point?
I had read a piece in the Times magazine that documented the resettlement and covered in particular a group of young men that were resettled into Fargo, North Dakota, and sort of that change of culture that they experienced there, and I was fascinated by it. And so then I read everything else I could find on it, and then out of the blue, Mary Williams, who was the head of the Lost Boys Foundation in Atlanta, wrote to me, and it seemed like I went to Atlanta blind, thinking, well, I'll meet Valentino and see what happens from there.
Before we proceed, Valentino, what is your feeling about the term Lost Boys?
The term Lost Boys is the name that the journalist picked to describe or to bring this story to a way where people in the world will reckon with it.
You're okay with it, even though it isn't something you might have used to describe the situation?
I'm all right in the sense that it depends on how a person used it, and it's all right.
Well, there are a lot of different names here. You've gone by the name Dominic Aru. Valentino is not the name that your parents gave you.
Valentino is my baptismal name. I'm a Catholic, and I took that name when I was baptized.
But Achak was the name that your family gave you.
Achak is my family name. Deng is my father's name. And combined with my baptismal name, I become Valentino Achak Deng.
Mm-hmm. What village did you grow up in?
I grew up in Muriel Bay in southern Sudan, in a province known as Northern Bahr Ghazal.
So it's not Darfur, it's another
province. Not Darfur, the area border Darfur to the south.
So. But did the same sort of thing happening there?
In sort of way, the militia in Darfur, that is known as Janjaweed, had just changed its name. It has been for years known as Mora Halin in southern Sudan.
And were the horsemen who came into your village and changed everything, were they Janjaweed?
They are. They are just the same people from the same tribal groups. And nothing had changed in their way of attack, in their way of destruction. It's all the same. It is only the name from Morahaleen to Janjaweed that has changed.
How old were you at this time, and how much did you understand about Sudanese politics?
About 7 to 8 years old. I really do not remember my age so well. But, yeah, that's when it happened.
Mm-hmm. And then, and suddenly you had to grow up.
Yeah, I had to grow up, and then I had to leave my hometown after several attacks that left the town in shambles, and that sort of discouraged the way the life was going, and I was separated from my family.
Uh-huh, so you had to leave by yourself.
I had to leave. I joined groups of young men and children and a few elders that were fleeing to Ethiopia to a refugee camp.
How far did you wind up walking?
I walked for almost 4 months, and it was a journey that I always thought would end it in 2 weeks, but it didn't. It took a month and more month, and then it grew from bad to worse.
Now, we talk about the Lost Boys. What about the girls? Or what about the young girls of South Sudan? Were they also making this journey?
There were girls. There were girls, and the girls were adopted into families in many of the refugee camps that we lived in. And they become part of those families. And we are talking about a community where girls get married off so quickly. So by the time many of them were 15 years old, 16 years old, they were married off to other people.
How did you survive on your way to Ethiopia? Were you able to find things to eat? Were you able to get past some of the dangers I'd imagine anyone would face, especially a vulnerable 8-year-old?
No, it was an absolute survival. At some point, we go to villages or towns where people were sympathetic. They would cook for us or give us something to eat. At some times, we would go into the sort of desert or desert-like territory and had to survive on wild We kill animal, or at some point we survive on wild fruits and leaves, and sometimes there's nothing. We have to survive on hope.
Then you got to Ethiopia, and you didn't stay there. What were the problems there?
I spent roughly almost 3 years, but then the Ethiopian government was a communist regime, and it was
the Mengistu government.
The Mengistu Haile Mariam's government, and it was overthrown in 1991. And the new government had asked the Sudanese to leave Western Ethiopia, and the rebels.
Why? Because it was a drain on the resources, or?
Well, the government that was taken over from Ethiopia was supported by the northern Sudanese government. That's where they had bases. And the rebels from southern Sudan, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, were supported by the communist regime in Ethiopia. And when the government changed in Ethiopia, the new rebels, Ethiopians rebels, didn't want the presence of allies of their enemy.
We've had other Lost Boys on the show, and they talked about the dangers of crossing the Gilo River. How scary was that?
It was scary and it was deadly.
How many people died?
I would estimate that almost 2,000 people died on that particular day because people were being shot into the river. There were families with the small children and who didn't know how to swim. And among the boys, thousands of them didn't know how to swim. And there were bullets as people crossed the river. And I remember having lost almost my company.
What do you think kept you going? It must have been very difficult to go through some of these experiences. I'm sure that there are people who just say, I give up. I'm just not going to move anymore.
It was difficult. And having been through a lot of those, I had accepted that this is my life. I have to face it. and I have to find alternatives. And the alternatives can come only through hopes and through the desire to survive and go through whenever I had contact with situations like that.
My guests are Valentino Achuk Deng and Dave Eggers. They've collaborated on the novel What is the What, which is published by McSweeney's. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Valentino Achuk Deng and Dave Eggers. They've collaborated on the novel What is the What, which is published by McSweeney's. Dave, was it difficult to shape Valentino's life story into some kind of novel format?
It was incredibly hard. It took me a lot longer than I had planned. I really, for Valentino's sake, I wanted to get the book out as soon as possible. And when we started early in 2003, I thought it might take a year or so to write it. And it took almost, you know, 3.5-4 years. And
what are some of the problems you faced?
Well, just sort of how to frame it, and at first, should it be nonfiction or fiction, and exactly how to get at these, you know, how to make it novelistic and not just an account, not just a human rights report, and to make it read in a way that would be compelling enough to carry you through the whole story.
On the other hand, I imagine there's also the problem of making people believe that somebody could have gone through all of the horrors that Valentino has experienced.
That's the weird thing, is that
they must have thought you were exaggerating at times.
The most incredible stuff in the book is the most true, and we actually scaled back a lot of the things that Valentino experienced, because at a certain point it was just too much, and so we used representative instances of things that he saw. And but the most amazing things, like the fact that when he was being resettled and leaving Nairobi, he got on a plane on 9/11 and was on a plane ready to go, and he was pulled off the plane with the rest of his resettlement group and sent back to Nairobi. And
even accept those coincidences when Dickens writes them.
Exactly. And so it's, when you say it's fiction, we tried to emphasize that, you know, the most incredible stuff was the stuff that actually did happen.
Valentino, where are you living now?
I live in Meadville, Pennsylvania. I go to Allegheny College there, and I was living in Atlanta before that.
And the novel depicts your life in Atlanta as being rather difficult. The book begins with you being robbed and beaten in your own home. Could that have happened to anyone, or was it related to the fact that you were an immigrant?
I think that could happen to anyone. There are crimes in any society, and I fell victims of those crimes. I think they saw me as their target, and the opportunity prevailed itself to them, and they're like, hey, we should get him. I think it could happen to anyone.
When did you got to Atlanta? Obviously not on 9/11, but how long did you have to wait before you finally arrived?
I waited for 2.5 weeks. I landed in JFK on September 25th, 2005. There was still military presence there and very few people at the airport.
2001,
I'm sorry, yeah. On September 25th, 2001.
And Americans being particularly suspicious of all immigrants at that moment.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate that I would be allowed to enter the United States after I had to get off my plane and waited in Nairobi. But I saw the push on the IOM, the International Organization for Migration, and I told them with my groups that we wanted to go to America. And they sort of accepted and allowed a few of us to enter.
Why Atlanta? Are there you're Dinka, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Are there other Dinka people in Atlanta?
There are many Dinkas across the United States right now, and I wasn't the first of the group to come. I was originally scheduled to go to San Jose in California. But
it would have been a lot warmer. Well, I guess it's just as warm either way.
I would have liked it there. But due to the security arrangement and the new changes right after September 11, I was rescheduled to go to Atlanta, where there were Sudanese, but I didn't know them.
Did you already speak English as well as you do?
I did, but not. I couldn't understand Americans' accents so well, especially in the South. But I struggled.
But now that you've become accustomed, would it be better if I were drawing my questions, or is this okay?
I wouldn't advise you to mix it up so much, but I can understand.
So, what happened here? Did the United States live up to your expectations? After all, as we said, you were beaten and robbed.
This is the land of dream and freedom, and there are opportunities available. Sometimes they seem not to be there, but sometimes they are there. And all I had to do when I came here is be hopeful.
Well, you had probably heard an awful lot about this country through radio and television and movies.
Yes.
Is it what you imagined?
Most of what I knew so much was sort of Hollywood America that I saw on movies. And growing up, when I see a movie where, like, let's say, they're a theater, and I thought, are they shooting like that in America? But then when I came here, I can now differentiate between a real movie that is based on life and a fictional movie.
Now, what about Americans? Were they at all curious about what had happened to you?
In Sudan?
When you were in Atlanta, yeah, did they ask you about what had happened in Sudan or just see you as another refugee?
There were many people are interested about Sudan, maybe very lately when the groups known as the Lost Boys came and tried to cheer their stories. A greater interest arose across the United States, and the media, you know, participated. They want to know more. And it was through the fact that for several years, media was not allowed to enter Sudan and report what happened, which is what has led to the death of 2.5 million in southern Sudan that was underreported.
Now, is the Dinka culture in danger of being erased?
It was, because the slogans of many successive regimes in the north had been that the Dinka are the troublemakers, and they traded off one tribe against another, but they had an ultimate goal, that is to control southern Sudan and to marginalize the region. So the Dinka was used as a name, you know, to get support from opposite tribes. But of late, that is not going to happen. But
the book does suggest that even amongst the Lost Boys here in the United States, there's some jealousy and competition.
Sure, that is true of any community. There are individuals' jealousy and individuals'
But this sounds interest. Like a story which should have also had a lot of friendship and cooperation.
That's true, and that is what this book tried to do. We tried to emphasize on aspects that are not being reported, on aspects that a lot of people are shy to mention, and that are part of conflict in Sudan. And people will know what successive government had the atrocities they had committed in southern Sudan and the attitude they have shown towards southern Sudanese in Sudan and right now in Darfur. So this book goes to those corridors and bring them up, highlight them.
Dave, the galley we received says, what is the what? Dave Eggers on the spine. Doesn't say Dave Eggers and Valentino Achakdeng. Is that because books are going to sell with your name on it, or is there some other reason for that decision?
Well, it's something that I wrote. Valentino, it's like any biography. If, you know, somebody wrote a biography of Abraham Lincoln tomorrow, it wouldn't say the author's name and Abraham Lincoln. It was, you know, it started with interviews that I did with Valentino, and then it was a matter of sort of over the course of 3.5 years making a novel out of that. So we decided that it wasn't a co-authored book. It was a biography of a living person.
But are you comfortable with the voice that he's given you in this book?
This is the final product of our collaboration. And we have agreed that this is a sort of way the book should be called, because I came from the book and the story from another culture, and we will have a different cultural audience that need to read the book and understand it in a way that will resonate with their understanding and reading, and that's the final product. So I have no reservation.
What's happened to your hometown, Mareel Bhai?
It was reduced to nothingness. We went there in 2003, and I was reunited with my family after 16 years, and I couldn't even recognize my mom and dad. I couldn't recognize the town. It was reduced to absolute nothingness, and I kind of really felt the war again. I felt like I wish those who started the war had thought about these states of the nations. So it is a town that is beginning from scratches right now to recollect itself, and the life is starting to come back. But it has gone through horrible stages of life.
I understand you're starting a foundation.
Yes, I hope to build a community resource center that will that will help the locals, you know, through education and exposures, and we want to start training and build classes for gender awareness, and we wanted also to I want to build a library there for people, for the youth to begin reading books, and we could support programs and other sort of thing, different things that I want to bring to that town.
And Dave, I understand all the profits from this book will go into that foundation?
Not just the profits, like every dime. No one else is taking any money. I'm certainly not taking a dime.
But you must be stunned by what's going on in Sudan. I mean, we all are aware of this tragic situation. And people keep on saying, well, let's do something. And so little seems to be happening finally to end it.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible that, you know, there wasn't that much attention paid to the Civil War and the atrocities during the first part of the Civil War with the North and the South. And the fact that there's so much attention to Darfur right now and still no action, no sanctions. The only time that the international community really stepped up and gave sanctions against this government was when they were harboring Osama bin Laden and they wanted him to be expelled with Al-Qaeda. And then there were, you know, real threats, and something happened.
My great thanks to Dave Eggers and Valentino Achak Deng. The book, What is the What, is published by McSweeney's, which is a publishing house founded by Dave Eggers. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
On tomorrow's show, Wangari Maathai, the winner of the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize, explains how networks of rural women are revitalizing Kenya by planting millions of trees. And then we'll take a look at the role one largely forgotten man played in launching Time magazine. Also, a new documentary revisits what happened at Jonestown. Plus, word maven Patricia T. O'Connor takes your calls on a crazy English language. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Melissa Egan with Sarah English, Brenna Farrell, and Blakeney Schick. We had help today from Paula Crossfield and Scott Goldberg. Debbie Daughtry is at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to The Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.